Hey, everybody, this is your third bonus episode of the week. I don't know what order you're listening to all of these in, but I've already dropped a bonus episode with Becky's sister, Tanya, a bonus episode with her sister, Drew. And this is another interview with her dad, Ron Friedley, and his wife, who's also in the room with Liesl Friedley. Now, this interview was recorded about 9 years after the murders. So you already heard an interview with Ron from literally the day after he found out that Becky had been killed. Now, this is years later. At this point, Robert and Christian had already been arrested for the first time, and we hear a little bit different version of Ron and Liesl here. It seems that there's a bit of revisionist history going on, not so much with the crime, but about Becky and her relationships and Ron's relationship with Becky. Take it for what it's worth, but I just wanted to make sure that you heard what Becky's father and her stepmother had to say 10 years after the murders, after Robert and Christian had been arrested. So this is your final No Frills, No Music bonus episode for this week. This is Ron and Liesl Friedley.
Texas Ranger James Holland is a legendary interrogator. They call him the serial killer whisperer.
You can't hide those indications, and that's why yesterday I knew that you did it.
But now, shocking interrogation tapes reveal how the super cop really operates.
And that's why they asked me to come in, because I'm special.
From Something Else, The Marshall Project, and Sony Music Entertainment, this is Smokescreen. Just say you're sorry. Listen and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today's date is Tuesday, August the 4th, 2015. The time is now 11:35 hours. Detective Harvey, myself, and Senior District Attorney Investigator Ryan Bodmer are in the home of Ron and Liesl Friedley, and we are at the address of Lakehead, Shasta County. We'll be talking to Ron and Liesl about the information they received when they learned of the murder investigation involving Becky and everyone at the Pinyon Pines residence. So thank you, Ron, Liesl, for allowing us into your home to speak with you about the situation. I know it's never an easy thing, but we do appreciate you allowing us the time to come and talk to you. What we wanted to do is just have you go back, unfortunately, and talk to us and explain to us how you received the information, the phone call, or whatever notification you received about the death of your daughter, and then the steps that you and your family had to take to come down and actually see what was going on.
Okay, I believe it was September 17th, and I'm guessing here, but I think it was a Monday, and when I received the call, Monday morning, we'd gotten up, we were sleeping in a trailer, 21-foot trailer in front of the house I was building, this house. And it was about 7 o'clock in the morning, and I answered the phone, cell phone, and it was Jeff Bump and Sarah, and he says, "Hey Ron, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm just hanging out. What are you doing?" And he's like, "Well, I got some bad news." He says, "Vicky's house burned down," and I thought, wow, that's really strange. I mean, it was just suddenly, you know, he's saying that the house is gone. And then he says, and I'm kind of worried because Becky's car's here in the driveway. Now, we haven't found any bodies or anything that I know of, but her car's in the driveway, and I think you might need to come down because there's a good possibility something's wrong here. Well, I already knew if everyone's car was there and they didn't find them wandering around the place, that in all probability that they were dead. So at that point, I got on the phone and I called Tanya and Drew, my two daughters, and I told them what I had just heard and that I was going to Palm Desert. And Tanya said she was going, so her and her fiance at that time got in their car and left from Pollock Pines in Sacramento County and drove down there and we met him. And it's about a, if you drive the speed limit, it's about 11 hours from here down there. I don't remember what time I got there. It was later in the evening. And I don't think we even contacted him.
It's almost 9 o'clock at night at IHOP. We met Rhonda. Sure, remember.
And anyway, I think it was the next day that we actually went down to the sheriff's office, Palm Desert Station. It was where, when it was located next to City Hall, mm-hmm. and off of Fred Waring, and I met him there, and they somebody interviewed my wife, and
Jeff did.
I don't recall exactly who the officer was that interviewed me, but it was done outside in the parking lot, facing east to the where the what I called a duck pond,
where the fisher the fishermen
yeah.
statues and stuff.
And he asked me basically what I was doing the day before, and I told him I was up here and was working on the house, and a gentleman down the street by the name of Phil Lewis, retired, was a school teacher at that time, and he'd come over. He used to be in construction, and he came over, and we had spent Sunday squaring all the walls up and making sure they were, you know, the right dimensions down the hallway and the front and the back and everything, so everything was squared. And then when you do that, you put the sill cap on the top, and that's keeps it from changing. And he spent the better part of the day with me that day. And he left somewhere, I don't recall exactly, but it was around noon or so. And then I had lunch and was hanging out at the trailer. And about probably 3 o'clock in the afternoon, a gentleman who lives down the street, help me out, what's his name?
Which one?
The
creepy old dude?
Yeah.
Nugent.
John Nugent.
No relation to Ted,
no,
right?
No relation.
All right.
Yeah, John Nugent.
John Nugent came by.
Came by, and we all had a beer together, and he was here from like 3 to 4. O'clock in the afternoon, and then he left, and that was pretty much.
And then we go to bed early because
the day, yeah. We when it was dark, we were asleep because I was working.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, the next morning on the 17th, about
a little after 7.
Well, it was Monday, so it must have been the 18th. I got a call from Jeff Bump and Sarah.
And within an hour, we were on the road. Probably within an hour. I threw stuff in a bag. Less. I dumped the dogs off at the neighbors.
Said, let's go.
And
we were gone.
Told them, I don't know when I'm going to be back.
So about 8 o'clock in the morning, you guys are on the road, right?
And I'd say closer to 9.
Okay.
Right. It was almost closer to 9 p.m. by the time, we stopped for gas. We ate once really quick because I made him.
No, he's asking you,
yeah, that
by 9 o'clock. That morning you were gone. We were gone by 8.
Between 8 and 9 we were on the road. It didn't take us more than an hour and a half to get
the rest
there
of it. Yeah, we made phone calls from our cell phone along
the way down.
So when you left here, where did you guys go?
Out to I-5, stayed on I-5 until you get to the 210.
57, whatever.
10 and
210, 10, done.
Yeah.
So you drove straight.
Right. We just kept going, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you did meet up with, was it Tanya? I don't know why I said
Rhonda. My girlfriend met us that night in the IHOP parking lot in Rancho Mirage.
Oh, the one on Monterey.
Yes.
Monterey and the 10 there, right there in the Home Depot parking lot.
And then later on, she went home and we stayed at Tito's house. Louis Bologna.
Yes,
that's right. We stayed at Bologna's house for a couple days.
Yeah, we did. That's right.
Do you guys recall getting any update phone calls while you were driving?
No.
Back
no.
to
nobody called us. Nobody didn't called us again for
nothing.
So once Jeff Bump and Sarah calls you guys and
first
gives you the news and tells you to come
for you to
home,
show.
You're heading on down and no updates.
Never heard from anybody. Nothing about, well, yeah, we confirmed we found the bodies, nothing. Mm-hmm. We never heard from any of them.
The first phone call we got from Jeff had to have been at least 2 months after the fact, maybe 6 weeks after we came back. I think I only talked to him once, maybe twice. I remember one conversation. But he was initially saying that he thought there was more than the two main people that we're aware of now. That there were maybe up to five, I think I remember him saying, involved in this. But didn't, other than me saying, was it Robert, and him saying, yes, he thought so, he never told us anybody else who he thought it might be. Mm-hmm. Even this Bo Nash guy, I don't know who that name is. I have no idea.
Right.
I had no idea about Javier's cousin, whoever that dude was.
Yeah.
None of these names were anything to me.
Right.
When you guys got the information from, received the phone call from Jeff Bump and Sarah, you guys were building, you're in full mode with construction. Did you guys have a hard line, or are you just all cell phones?
All cell. We didn't
and
get a
most
hard
of the
line
later. You had to literally walk up the driveway.
Up to get a signal.
Could get a signal.
Where it would come through and then the call would drop, so I could answer the phone, but I'd have to hang on and run up there really quick.
Right.
I spent a lot of time in that driveway making phone calls. Yeah. I can even give you the old cell phone number.
Oh, you have a different cell phone number now?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sure, why not?
That'd be the phone number that Jeff called that morning.
That was it. That was my phone.
It was your phone. And how did Jeff know to have your cell phone?
Prior to retiring, when we came up here and bought this property, we knew we were going to build here. So, like about 6 months or so, we actually came up here one time, and I got the phone with this area code.
We went to Verizon.
And then I went. Everybody I knew down there, I told them what my phone number was going to be, so they would be able to contact me if they ever wanted to.
All right. So straight drive from here to Southern California. How long did that take?
About 11 hours.
11 hours. Son of a gun.
If you speed, you could, on a good day, no traffic, you might be able to make it in 10.
Ish.
But yeah. It's a maniac drive.
You still got to drop for, you got to get gas.
Yeah, it's
and
a
you
maniac
gotta,
drive.
Yeah, it is.
Fast.
And that grapevine's a nightmare
it
sometimes.
Is.
And
yeah, it's about... Realistically,
used to take me 10 and a half when I really hit it. Now it takes me 12.
Yeah.
I just can't do it anymore.
Yeah. Okay.
Can you think of anything else with regard to that information in the trip? Yeah, no. I just had a couple of questions just about the relationship with Becky. Now, you guys left Southern California, came here in 05.
That's correct.
And you've been here to date. As far as how, with your communication with Becky, would you say that it changed when you came up here, or were you still pretty much, keeping regular communication, or how would you define it?
Well, I would say it was probably I talked to her as often as I probably would have if I would have been still down in the desert. I mean, she called occasionally. She talked to Liesl more because, well, her...
I answered the phone.
That's probably part of it.
That was it.
But she called and I talked to her, you know. But it was just basically, hi, Dad, how you doing? I love you, I miss you, and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I didn't really discuss boyfriend issues with her, but she did with Liesl. And then... Liesl would tell me everything she told her after she got off the phone.
Keep your secrets, do you?
So I knew what was going on. I just didn't hear it from her. But I'd heard about boyfriends and things like that. And I had met Robert only one time, and that was when she was.
I had to pick him up. Because his mother wouldn't let him drive, even though I think he had his permit. and was allowed to so many hours a day or something. It doesn't matter. Yeah. But I drove to his house and picked him up and brought him back to our house so they could hang out for a while, and then had to take him home at a certain time.
But I didn't even meet him then at that particular time. The only time I met him was at the graduation.
That's right.
Were they dating at that time?
Yes. Yes, she was a year ahead of him, I believe, in high school when they met. They were quite a couple for a long time.
Was that
I'd say from age 16, 17. Late, because Becky was a little older, I think she was 17 and he was 16 when they met.
So they had been dating for a period of time then.
I have a picture of when they went to prom together.
They
did. He went to her prom with her. Yes. And like I said, up until even May of 06, when his birthday came around, I think that's when there was a few more problems, and he got a gun, and him and his friends were weird, and freaking me out.
The whole problem was,
and I kept telling him to stay with him.
Becky didn't want to have sex with him.
She wanted to wait.
She was one of these girls that, you know, I mean, I had that discussion. I had three girls, and I mean, I always had the discussion with them. And it was kind of a standing rule. I tried to convince them that they shouldn't have intercourse with somebody until they were at least 17. And that was kind of the agreement. And I believe it, that they all stuck to it.
Yeah.
They really did. And I mean, I recall even Tiffany's birthday when she was 17, and her boyfriend came over. We had cake and everything. And, well, Dad, we're leaving. I says, so where are you guys going? She says, Dad, I'm 17.
Okay. Oh, no.
Right.
Oh, okay. You're like, right. At that point, you're thinking, I should have said 18. No. Yeah, I should have said 19. Because, I mean, I don't know. I have a daughter, so that's, I mean, I would be like pushing it. Did I say 18 or 19?
They actually, I think, pretty much abide by that. And
I know when Becky had sex for the first time, it was January of 06. Do the math.
And, I mean, it wasn't anything that they discussed with me or anything like that, but, you know, I know she liked a guy, but as far as conversations that I had during that year, from the time I retired until, it was almost, I retired September 15th, 2005, and she died September 17th, 2006. So, I mean, I talked to her on the phone, cell phone, when she would call, or we would call her. And
tell us she enrolled in school, and
but it, you know, I can't recall all the phone call conversations, but I talked to her a few times, and I wish I would have talked to her longer, but I didn't, because you always think, you know, you're gonna see him again.
You're gonna call him again, yeah.
I mean, yeah. If I would have known that was gonna be the last phone call, I mean, I could recall the last phone call.
You've never gotten off the phone.
She called and she was talking about those lights that they have for the fire trucks, the strobe lights, when they turn them on and it clears the intersection, and she thought those were cameras, and I'm like, no.
Maybe you're not, right.
They're not cameras. They're just for the fire trucks with strobe lights. Well, if I got a strobe light, could I make it work? I said, well, you don't want to do that, and you know, things like that. That was kind of the conversation we had.
And maybe I'm just building a house, and
I talked to her, I love you, and
goofball.
Well, let me talk to Liesl, and off they went, you know, so, yeah.
I remember, though, that was why they broke up the very first time.
It was.
Because she didn't want to have sex with him.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
And that's when Sarah came into the picture. Well, I can't exactly tell you when that.
He went out and was looking for somebody he could sleep with, and that's who he met Sarah, and that's who he was sleeping with. And then... Then, if I recall the story correctly, what happened was they broke up.
And then they got back together again like a month.
No. So then, after that, then she enrolled at
College
of the Desert. And that's when she met Javier Garcia Jr. And he was all infatuated with her, and but she wasn't, I guess, with him. But I know they did hang out together, and then I evidently Robert heard that she was going out and stuff. And he's like, well, maybe I got a chance again. So he went back and saw her and met her and started, you know, hitting on her.
Rekindling the old flame.
And she's like, well, I'm not sure or whatever. And anyway, evidently they then slept together. And Becky was all excited that, you know, I mean...
things are going great.
Yeah. This was January 06.
This is January 06.
She's got a boyfriend. It's working out. I guess she had sex. The world's shining. And then she found out that he was still seeing Sarah.
And I don't know how she found out.
Who Robert had met while they were broke up. So he's getting it from both now. He's really happy. Well, at that point, she said, screw this. I'm not putting up with this crap. And she packed up and left and went to Santa Clarita. And there's a long story. I'll try to make it really, really short. What happened was there was a guy, and I can't tell you his last name. His name is Chuck. Well, Chuck met my ex-wife through a neighbor, and he fell madly in love with Vicky. Mm-hmm. He was a little older guy, about 10 years maybe older than I was at the time, and we were broke, divorced, and he just fell in love with Vicky, but Vicky didn't really feel the same way. And so he'd met all the kids and everything. And so then he goes back, he's living in Santa Clarita. So he goes home and every birthday and stuff, he's sending him money and
kept
birthday
in touch with the kids. He really did.
He really did.
Yeah.
And so what happened was Tiffany, who didn't really feel like getting a job or whatever, and because after she graduated, she got married and then got a divorce. And then she came up here and lived with my sister, went to school. And then she went back and lived with Vicky again for a while. And then in talking to Chuck, he's like, well, you can come live here. So boom, she went up there and literally lived there for years.
Okay.
And so
Becky moved in with them.
Chuck is supporting
Tiffany.
Right.
Now Tiffany has a child from one guy, then she meets another guy and she has another child from him, none of which are husbands. Chuck's paying for all of this, clothes, food.
He's an enabler. This is just enabling this crap.
He's just taking care of her.
Yeah.
Well, when Becky and Robert broke up, Becky wanted out of here. She wanted out of the area, so she went up there. And see, Chuck paid for Tiffany to go to college, school. So Becky said, well, I'm going to go to school. Can I move up there? And Chuck's like, yeah, cool. Come on up. So he came up. She went up there and lived at Chuck's house also in Santa Clarita. Well, that pissed off Tiffany. And the conversation was, you're taking away money out of my kid's mouth and stuff like
that. They got a big fight.
Because Chuck only had so much money, and now some of it's going to Becky.
Right.
So Tiffany hit her.
Tiffany beat the crap out of Becky.
You got in a big fight.
Yeah. So,
a physical fight. Yeah.
We're talking beat the crap out of her. I mean, beat her.
So Becky went home.
So Becky said, forget this crap. So she went back home, and within a month, she was dead.
Yes.
From the time she left Santa Clarita, she got back. Robert found out she was back there. And that's why I think what happened with Sarah, this is speculation on my part, I admit it, but Sarah found out that she's back.
Back
and
in town.
And Robert's going to be looking for her and da-da-da-da-da. And a month later, she was dead.
She hadn't
been back
for
that's
very
kind
long.
Of the events that actually took place.
I missed some.
Could 6 weeks, 8 weeks, or is it really? Are you really solid on that timeline?
Honestly, you can call him. I'll find his phone number for you.
Chuck.
Yes, I'll find his phone number.
Right.
Chuck will help. But because I remember Ron saying it was only she'd only been home a month.
Yeah, I'm
and
pretty sure it's about
she went out
month.
That okay. bad. You know,
that's maybe a little longer, but we'll find out.
Yeah. So she was there approximately 6 to 8 weeks.
She had a job at Magic Mountain.
And then she came back and it had been about a month, and then She was murdered.
Well, she might have been up in Santa Clarita.
I think she was at Santa Clarita longer than that.
She had a job at Magic Mountain.
Yeah. I think she was there almost 6 months.
She had a job at Magic Mountain, so we'll pull the Magic Mountain stuff.
She was gone quite a while.
If they still have it, which they should. I believe they keep that stuff for quite a period of time.
Unless she's a temporary or something like that. No time after she got back that everybody found out she was here and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was within.
She was dead.
It was in a month, 5 weeks after she got back that she was killed. Gosh, I can't remember his last name.
I don't even know if Chuck's still alive.
I've got phone numbers on it. Don't worry about it.
Did Chuck have any siblings of his own?
I don't know if he has siblings. He has no children of his own that I'm aware
of. Or children, I'm sorry.
None that I'm aware of.
That was my last.
I don't have his last name either. But last residence for him was Place, Newhall, California, and here's a phone number under Chuck.
You have kids?
I don't think he was actually having a sexual relationship with Tiffany.
No, I don't. I think it was more a father, a stepdaughter. I want to take care of you. He wanted a family of his own.
Had he been with Vicky for a while to have grown this infatuation with
Tiffany? They dated for a while.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what you call a while.
Well, you know,
I don't think it was that long. I think he was trying to make it into something more, but
win the heart a little bit.
Yeah,
win the heart.
She wasn't going for it. And then I think his way of, you know, sending stuff to the kids was more.
I can be there. I can be that person.
He had a way in.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Like, and then and maybe if she does change her mind, she can see that I'm a solid guy. I'm trying to do the right thing. That kind of attitude, you know.
That's
it
fine.
Didn't work. But see, the problem was, what happened was Tiffany. Tiffany is a user, and she just used that guy. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it just so you understand. Even do you know who Yvette is?
Name's familiar, yes.
Yvette is Vicky's sister.
Yes.
Lives in Santa Barbara.
Yes, and then that's Daniela.
Yes.
Got it.
If I'm not mistaken, Daniela they wanted to go live there too, to go to school. For some reason it was
in with Chuck.
Santa Clarita, yes. But instead, they ended up going up there and buying a house.
Okay.
And she lived in the house, and then they rented out some of the other rooms to help pay for it. It started out that she was going to live at Chuck's house and go to school there. And instead, they said, the heck with this, we'll buy a house. So they bought a little house, she had a room, and they rented out the other rooms while she went to school. After mm-hmm. that, I don't know if they sold it or not. But I mean, it was weird because they were all leaving Santa Barbara and stuff and going up there and going to school.
Mm-hmm.
How and why, I mean, I don't know. I was divorced, so I didn't get all the
details of the
details. But I just heard that from the kids. So it turned out to be a popular place to go to school as far as college went.
Mm-hmm.
As far as their family was concerned. So, I mean, it sounds weird at first, but Tiffany was there for years. Oh, I mean,
the
years.
Only reason Tiffany moved out was after the insurance came
exactly,
off.
When she, because I told you, after Vicky died, they finally, they settled on the house, and the insurance company paid them off, and then with whatever bank account money and stuff that she had, it came out to a considerable amount, well over $100,000. So that was Tiffany, Tanya, and Drew, the three of them. And that's when Tiffany went out and bought her own house. But to this mm-hmm. day, I don't think she's still working. I have no idea how she's supporting herself, but
right.
it doesn't matter. But Tiffany lived there for years, many,
many
years.
Mm.
And then when Becky went up there, that's when the big fight started, and it was all over the money.
She thought she was going to tap into the well.
She was.
Cutting off.
She was, and Tiffany was feeling the pinch.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Tiffany beat up Becky.
I don't know if you had an opportunity to talk to Becky before she moved back to the desert from Santa Clarita. How did she feel about that? Was she apprehensive about going, or was she okay with going, or was it just Just she was in auto mode, you know?
Or was it just...
I remember talking to her about it, saying that she was going to move up there with Chuck. And I thought it was a good idea because he was always good to the kids. None of them ever gave me the impression that this isn't a man that they shouldn't be around, you know?
Right.
And, no, he was always good to those kids, and I thought it'd be great for her to get an education. We never could provide her with a college education, and yeah, baby, go. If this is,
grab
I think she had an ulterior motive for leaving now that I know. I think she wanted out and away from him. And after the second breakup.
Yeah, we found that information out afterwards, you know.
Okay, that's what we were gonna, I was going to ask you.
Yeah, I think it was more...
I'm moving here. She just told me this is why I'm doing it. This is, and then when she told me she moved back with Vicky, all she implied was, yeah, there was a fight and it wasn't working out. She never said how really bad it was until later. And I'm moving back, and then maybe a month later or so she called. I'm enrolled in school. I quit smoking, and I didn't gain weight. I'm a good girl.
A lot of the stuff that we found out, too, is like...
It was all after the fact.
Yeah, and in talking to Linda, which is also Vicky's sister, Linda was telling me about how Tiffany had beat her up, and then she'd also said, and that wasn't the only time she said that she had actually beat her up one other time, and her and her husband had to kind of step in there and stop the fight. And, you know, Tiffany has some problems with that, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she didn't call us up and tell us that kind of stuff. There's a lot of that we found out after she died.
Well, it seems like Becky... She really knew how to find her way, though. I mean, she was seems like she was kind of independent.
She was right? Very independent. Yeah. She was smart.
Fine.
She was very, very smart. I mean,
nothing
she would
scared
have,
her.
She didn't have that. I remember when the kids would sit around doing homework. I mean, Tanya's the oldest, and then Drew's 2 years younger than her, and then Becky is almost another two.
Hang on.
2 years younger than her, and Becky was doing their homework for them. For the other two.
Yeah.
No, for money. I
mean, she 82, was, 85,
she
87
was
is when they were
just
born.
Extremely
so.
Smart, and there was nothing that girl couldn't have done. I mean, she could have been.
She had a lot of ambition.
She could have been anything she wanted.
Seemed like wherever she went, she was able to get a job.
Oh, very friendly. Always had
people to loved her.
That
she
was.
She was just a really. I mean, people always say that about their kids. All that everybody loved them. She was just great, but she was. I mean, she really was. She was very outgoing. She got along with people. And people
she was. Just, she was more outgoing than the other two.
Yeah,
girls,
the other two
as,
are not like that at all. They're more like me. They're just, you know, I got to get to know you before I really like you. You know, but not Becky, man. She didn't matter.
She never
you
met
were,
anybody.
You were nice to me. Let's go party. You know, she was just a fun kid.
Yeah. It has probably nothing to do with anything. Just a side note. I know Becky drove that square car.
Scion.
And what the reason that was?
That was Drew's
Drew.
Car.
Drew bought that car.
Okay.
And then Drew went in the service, and she didn't have really any place to put it. So she said, "Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you make the payments and you can drive the car?" So that's why
Becky
was driving that car.
It's a good reason.
Belonged to Drew, and she was making
but
the payments.
But she kept up the payments,
yes,
and the insurance and all that good stuff.
Yes, she was making
so
the payments.
She gave her responsibility. She kept it.
That's what my dad did.
So, and it was good for Drew.
Well,
it was good for Now Becky had a more reliable car with good gas mileage. It was working out all over the place.
Yeah,
especially going up and down that hill, up in Pinyon.
It's the same as me driving to town. It's not scary.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you can think of as far as timeline or anything historical that you can think of? Okay, we can always do follow-up if you guys don't mind.
No, you can ask us anything you want, anytime you want.
All right.
Did she talk to you at all about any types of boyfriends that she may have had for a short period of time in Santa Clarita?
No.
No?
Heard of
okay.
No.
any boys she may have met?
I don't
or
think so.
Like
no, that.
That
was right after the last big breakup, and she was really, because I remember she called me crying that day. We broke up again, and
yeah,
and because she's back or whatever the verbatim comment was. Yeah, I knew who she was referring to. We'd had conversations about her before. I just never knew her name.
Yeah,
I just know it was her. You know,
that goes back.
That, you know,
and it's the other girl in Robert's life,
right? And we're still referring to the same one, and yeah. So I and then it couldn't have been more than a few weeks after that that she told me she was going to live at Chuck's house.
Yeah.
And
you guys had some intimate conversations, it sounds like, really. And
Becky told me everything.
That was her. Was it safe to say that that would be her first love?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, we've already had this conversation.
Absolutely.
Yes.
She'd never had sex with anybody.
Oh,
was,
no.
Was
she
first.
Was, that was it. That was her first love from high school. Mm-hmm. I remember her telling me about him when they first met. And he's a year younger, and I'll be out of school for a year, and he's still in it. And do you think that'll cause problems for our relationship? And well, I'm thinking pretty big terms here, honey. It's like high school. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she was very worried that once she was out into the world and he was still stuck in high school, that
yeah.
cultural difference could be a problem.
Yeah, oh yeah, it is.
You know, now I'm out on my own and you're still stuck in like a kid in school. And so, but yeah. it seemed to go fine. It seemed to go great for forever. Till Sarah.
Yeah.
Well, until she wouldn't sleep with him.
Yeah.
Because she did ask me about that too. I said, if you don't want to, don't do it.
Don't do it.
If you're uncomfortable, don't let him woo you. This is on your terms. And so tell him no. What if he breaks up with me? Well, then now you found out what kind of guy he is.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it'll hurt, but it'll hurt less now than it will later. Mm-hmm. Kind of thing, you know.
That sounds like good advice.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest with you.
Yeah.
Becky told me everything.
And then she told me.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I have a backup question. When you guys left, what kind of vehicle did you guys drive?
That old
here?
Truck.
Yeah, when you left from here to come down to Southern California.
It was
a 2001 Chevy 1500 Silverado.
Oh, wow.
Would you like to know its location?
With her friend.
My girlfriend owns that truck.
Oh, that's right.
That is the truck.
That's right.
And it's got, you know, infinite amount of miles, but it's still rolling.
Well, yeah, the lift has been taken out, and yeah. There's a few dings in it now. Well, I did one, he did one.
Yeah. That's a three
Chuck's not a truck
right?
without its first
no,
ding.
Is it 1500.
Oh, yeah. 1500.
Yeah, it was a smaller one.
Okay.
The or the bed,
quarter,
or the bed
the
scratched.
Half-time.
Yeah. No, I had to learn how to drive a trailer without any instruction.
Yeah.
It was my truck or a Pearl White. Cadillac Escalade.
Yeah.
Nope, we're digging my truck.
Yeah, I hear you. All right. I didn't do that. Anything
Based
else?
On what we've talked about, is there anything that you guys want to add or touch on or anything like that? Okay. All right. Okay. Well, we do appreciate your time. And like I said, if it's okay, we'll grab a little bit of your... Of your spit for the swab.
Sure.
Wow.
Sure.
We don't have to do that right now. We don't have to do that right this
way. Wait a minute.
Oh, absolutely.
You can brush your teeth.
Absolutely.
No, I just made a...
Yeah, but no, that's one of those things. That's what we were talking about. Just making sure that everything, every T is crossed, every I is dotted.
Okay, well then we're going to go ahead and go off record.
And ending time right now is 12:02 hours.
Say goodbye to the dish and hello to Sky Stream, the new way to get Sky over Wi-Fi. So you can get unmissable Sky shows like The Last of Us and Succession, as well as Netflix and Discovery Plus, and loads more, all in one subscription for £26 a month. Oh, and next day delivery with no upfront fee. Sky Stream, TV simplified. Head to sky.com. Requires Sky Stream and broadband minimum speed 10 megabits per second, 18-month minimum term. Cut-off times apply for next day delivery. Excludes bank holiday, 18 plus, terms apply.